US President Donald Trump claims Iran has been hit very hard by the latest round of US airstrikes. He says the attacks are in honour of the three American soldiers killed in Jordan and Iraq in recent days. In response, Iran has targeted Bahrain, the home of the US Navy's Fifth Fleet, as well as Kuwait. Jonathan Panikoff is a former US intelligence officer and senior director of the Scowcroft Middle East Security Initiative at the Atlantic Council's Middle East program. Jonathan, Iran has been striking the Strait of Hormuz in the past 24 hours. What do you make of this latest escalation?
Well, great to be with you. Look, I think the escalation is obviously going to go forward for a little bit here. I'm not convinced that we've seen the U.S. escalate yet to the full intensity that it's going to, and that means that Iran will also respond. I think the Iranians started this because they recognize that their leverage over the Strait of Hormuz, frankly, is such a fundamental aspect to what they view themselves as having gained from the war. They're not willing to give it up. There's a misinterpretation, I think, on between the two sides on the MOU. And so, unfortunately, here we are back in a conflict.
How long would it take for the US to neutralize Iran's tax on shipping in the Strait?
I think it's unlikely that the US will be able to ever fully neutralize it. The problem is fundamentally, as we've learned, it's a very low cost and high impact for Iran to keep producing drones. And it takes a very small drone to really cause a level of fear and panic among insurance companies, among the shipping companies themselves, to be able to say, yes, we're confident and going to allow the ships to go through. And I think that's going to only be compounded if the U.S. really is unable to navigate the ships through themselves. We've saw now the movement of ships trickle down once again after having slowly increased at the beginning of the ceasefire. And so, yes, the U.S. can make progress in diminishing Iran's attack capabilities, but the idea of eliminating it, I think, is probably a fallacy, unfortunately.
On the Iranian side, Jonathan, how do you think decision makers in Tehran are weighing the costs of continuing this fight against the political cost of backing down?
It's interesting because I think one of the challenges that we're seeing that the U.S. is having, and the negotiators, frankly, is that Iran just is not a monolith in terms of its leadership and how its leadership is viewing the situation. The Iranian Revolutionary Guards are clearly in charge. And I think what you're seeing is that, yes, even the key negotiator for Iran, Speaker Khalibaf, you know, is having maybe a different opinion than some of the other leaderships, but they're all from the IRGC. But they're all from the guards at a time when they're also all trying to consolidate power, when they're trying to figure out what new leadership dynamics look like. And I think there's some significant disagreement between them, and it's having a real impact in how far Iran is willing to go and what the decision-making looks like, that I think you'll have some more pragmatic folks, I would call them, like Khalibaf, willing to frankly adhere to the MOU, and others that are saying, no, this isn't what we thought was agreed to. And so that's also causing tensions, frankly, with the negotiators and with the U.S.
Jonathan, it seems like a long time ago that President Trump was putting forward the narrative of, we're going to do this bombing campaign, and then you, the people of Iran, you can come out onto the streets after that. We will help you. What do we know about the level of public support, perhaps not just for the regime itself, but for continuing the fight against the United States?
Yeah, I mean, your point is so well taken, because this actually started, it's hard to believe and remember, back in January, frankly, when the Iranian regime cracked down on protests and we saw thousands killed in Iran. And the Trump administration and Trump personally put out on Truth Social that the U.S. would have its back. But the U.S. didn't have the appropriate assets in place. And so it took, frankly, another 7 weeks before the U.S. struck. And that really disappointed, I think, a lot of the Iranian people, as we understand it. It frustrated them. And it felt then that the war, as it started in very late February, was almost disconnected to those original protests. I think now what you're seeing is just a level of frustration and confusion, because clearly all of these U.S. strikes have not actually ended the regime, have not replaced the regime. And I think there's some frustration among the Iranian people, many of whom don't support the regime, don't want the regime, but are confused by U.S. actions that are targeting, in their view, Iranian sovereign capabilities, not regime capabilities. So in other words, targeting Iranian infrastructure, bridges, even the oil facilities, are things that I think a lot of the Iranian people view as Iranian, not regime. And so it's causing, I think, some level of confusion and frankly exacerbating disappointment with the U.S. in terms of how you go forward and can the U.S. be relied on in the future.
Jonathan, many thanks.
Thank you.